Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are things in sunny Florida?
Okay. I have to tell you, every week when I go on to see whether or not Skype is working, and I click on it, and I listened to the end of Bird Note. And every week, I find out what the name of the bird is, and I go in and I look at it just to see what they look like. I really do enjoy listening to the Bird Note every week. It's fun.
Well, Bird Note came to us by the way of Margaret Roach, but also another show that we have on, which is Talking Birds. And those shows are so popular because so many people, even, you know, they don't have to be avid bird watchers, but when they see a bird, you know, everybody's interested when they see a bird out in their yard. And those two shows, the Bird Note and Talking Birds, are very, very popular. So,
well, for the longest time, I thought you were the person who was narrating because sometimes the guy sounds just like you.
Well, no, I would have to do too much research to find out about birds.
Yeah.
I've never been a researcher, I can tell you that. The straightest line between two points has always been my favorite. Let other people do the research and present the shows. All right, well, finally, there's been an auction which is right up my alley.
Oh, boy.
Finally. A divorce auction. Back in 2018, a court ordered that all the art for this couple has got to be split and sold at auction.
Yes.
And $676 million was raised on Monday.
Yes. And it was in the papers. They had to go through, the judge made them get proposals from both major auction houses. They were obviously major art collectors as well, or not obviously, but they were major art collectors. And that was, this has played out in the papers, and it's just been, people have been waiting for this to come up.
Well, it's just one of those. You know, you see the headline and you see how much money was raised, and you know how bitter the divorce had to be if a judge had to say, "Okay, we're going to auction these things off."
Right, right. Well, and part of it was because there was, and this was all in the newspapers, is that part of it was one side had an appraiser that came in at one value, the other side, you know, it's not going to be exact, but it was far enough apart that they really just couldn't figure out how to divide it equitably. And then the judge said, you know what, just here you go, take it, sell it, and then you divide the money. It's much easier to divide cash than try to
figure
out.
We say that all the time. We tell people, yes. You know, because we've done a number of contentious, not every divorce is contentious. I will say, I have to be honest about that, but the majority of them seem to be, and we've done a number of kind of high profile contentious divorces, and we had one client whose the husband was just trying to bury the wife, you know. So he said, I want the curtains. I don't care. I even want the curtains. And so I just said to him, okay, well, I'm just going to tell you this. And I said, no disrespect intended, but anger has no value. and there was like dead silence. And he ended up realizing the foolishness of his anger. It wasn't getting anywhere, and that's the problem with divorces. They fight over the silliest things, but in this case, $676 million is not chump change.
Well, it's also if you look into it a little farther, she was the wife was the major art collector,
right? And that sale represented only 35 pieces of art. And yes, she was the major art collector, and that's. But it far surpassed that sale, far surpassed Sotheby's $400 million estimate. for the collection. Now, again, auction estimates are marketing tools. They're not a reflection of value when it comes to establishing fair market value. But this was, this was a big deal, art sale.
Well, I'd be interesting to find out now that seeing as she was the major art collector, if they, I'm going to read into this to see if they're going to split it 50-50 or if her being the major collector is going to make a difference in this.
Right. Yeah. That.
But I think that's going to come down to one thing: whose attorney can pee higher on the tree.
Well, that's the whole thing, because you know what, the attorneys are going to make out like a bandit on this, on these divorce auctions, and especially you had an art auction in on it. I mean, they can probably close their practice after it's over and just retire.
Well, you know, it's funny because last night, Tim and I were talking. We were visiting a friend of ours, and we were talking about an appraisal that we had just finished, and it was probably the biggest appraisal that we've ever done, at least both monetarily and the number of items. And I said, these kind of appraisals don't come along all that often, but the fact is they actually do. But the thing is, it could be this was over 10,000 items, and the amount of the appraisal was really high, but that could, and I said, well, you know, that could happen. Tim said, well, that could happen with a piece of art. You don't have to have 10,000 pieces to have that high of an appraisal value, because some of the, you know, you could have in this case 35 artworks and look what it sells for. So you know, it, divorce and art, they're interesting bedfellows, because it never ends up being equitable, at least from our experience.
No. Well, and the other thing, and if you read through the article, it does say that that they are going to be, it says splitting, but we don't know it is at 50-50. It just says split. That can imply a whole lot of other things. But they did say that there was one piece that when they had it appraised, the values differed by $30 million because, and it's not the appraisers, it's that there's a lack of comparables for a lot of these items, because these were items that haven't been on the market for a long time. So when you think about that, it's like, okay, you know, that's pretty great. But to, you know, to have it sell for $600 odd million, and then last week also what happened at Christie's did, it was two nights of sales, I think, and they did close to $1 billion just in a couple of days. Jeez. So just amazing prices, how the markets, how things have just roared back, you know, from this where we were over a year and a half ago to now. You know, it's pretty interesting to see how things are going.
$1 billion. You know, these are just staggering numbers, but interesting nonetheless. Now, there's an auction coming up November 22nd through the 26th, and this has some pretty cool items in it. The Herman Historica auction. It's got everything from suits of armor to Chinese antique Chinese pottery and everything like that. It really is a pretty amazing, you know, looking through what's here up for the auction, it really has some pretty amazing stuff in it.
Is this the one that has, when you said armor, I was looking at something this morning and it showed a helmet?
Yes.
That
yeah, that's the auction. Yeah, that was an 1800 Italian helmet, which is valued at $10,000 to $20,000. But when you scroll down some of the pictures and you see some of the different things they have there, they have an Iron Cross medal from the Order of the Cross of Liberty, which is now not a lot of money, $1,000 to $2,000. But there's what I find about this auction, there's really is some interesting things in here that relate as far as his history goes.
Yeah, yeah. This some of these items are a little bit out of our bailiwick. Yeah. We always have someone that we can refer to. But for example, I noticed that there's a lot of weapons, old weapon, swords and daggers and things, and a lot of armors and armament. So it'll be interesting to see what this auction does. I think the auction is actually slated to begin. I don't remember if it's before November. Or after Thanksgiving.
The 22nd.
I think it's before November.
Yeah.
November 22nd. One of the cool things in there is a uniform from 1906, a drummer of the Russian Army, the Imperial Russian Army. And it looks to be in pretty good shape. And like I said, the prices, the initial prices on these things are not a lot. But I've always been a history buff. I love history. So when I see things that range from drummers for the Russian Imperial Army, the Chinese antiques. That's a look back at the world as a whole. It just looks like a fun auction to me to look in on.
Yeah. Well, I like also because I like armor. When we went to London and we went into the armor room at the Tower of London. It was, I could have stayed in there all day. It's just amazing what they actually put themselves through to protect themselves back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what this illustrates also, Marshall, is just the wide advertising reach of the internet, just the how great, because this sale is taking place in Munich in Germany. So, and here we are talking about it. And this is a fantastic illustration of how the global marketing of the items that are coming up for auction have really, the landscape has just changed. And you can watch this, you can bid on it, you can follow it, and add great things to your collection that from around the world, as opposed to trying to find them locally. But this is, it's really great.
And this yeah. is, go on.
One of the interesting, there was a lot of helmets in this cell. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that, but the one that actually caught my mind was the one that was in the story. And if you remember, when we first started doing this show, I made the joke that I think you and I must have been separated at birth like the Corsican twins. And this one helmet reminds me so much. It looks like the Count of Monte Cristo, where they put the guy in, or no, the Iron Mask, and where the one twin gets separated at birth. And that's, I saw this and I thought of you immediately.
It also looks a little bit like one of the characters in the cantina during the Star Wars movies.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Well, finally, my two favorite subjects have come together, the United States Constitution, a copy of it, and crypto. A bunch of people are getting together and forming a group, and they're trying to raise the money to purchase this. I guess it's not a copy, but it's the United States Constitution. It's a painting of the United States Constitution, and they're trying to raise the $15 to $20 million. Poor guys, they've only raised $4.3 million to right now.
Are you amazed though that they've even raised that amount of money? I don't know. I have a feeling that this is not going to be a fad. I think this is actually is going to be the wave of the future as far as currency goes, because there are too many mainstream advertisements now on companies that have started for cryptocurrency. And I was flabbergasted when I saw, like, I think it was, they said if you bought, I don't remember, it was like maybe it was 2 or 4 bitcoins like 15 years ago or 10 years ago, they would be worth $400,000. But is it $400,000 in real money or cryptocurrency. What? I still don't understand.
You understand, Tom? Right. Tom Brady gave the guy that that gave his football back from a 600th touchdown pass. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave him a lot of stuff. Tom Brady gave him a crypto coin worth $65,000.
Yeah, that's the other thing is the scope of how much a coin is. You know, a 50-cent piece is worth 50 cents. But a crypto coin, I think they can be worth whatever you – I don't know if they have increments or – I don't get it. I just don't get it. But well, I don't believe it's going away anytime soon, so I'm going to have to figure out how it works.
Here's a little more context to this story is that this copy of the Constitution is a rare copy that is – actually more what they're saying with Sotheby's, this is going to be offered at Sotheby's, and what Sotheby's is saying is that it's even rarer than the first edition of the 1776 Declaration of Independence. And Sotheby's has this estimated to go for $15 million to $20 million, because that's what it's expected to sell for. Now, this group that you're talking about, Constitution DAO, what they are an organization expressly created for the purpose of crowdsourcing enough funds to make the winning bid on the prize. So they are, they're basically a DAO, which I didn't know is a decentralized autonomous organization, is a protocol, essentially a set of automated rules that runs in a blockchain environment. In this case, the Constitution DAO allows individuals to buy tokens that come with governance concerning the fate of the constitutional copy should the DAO be successful in bidding on Thursday's auction. Now, did everybody get that? Wake up. I'm sorry.
You said three things that I have absolutely no, that mean nothing
to
me.
I'm glad you said that because I'm sitting here with my eyes crossed.
I know.
I think my head's going to explode any second.
No, I just wanted to quote that from the article. But what that's saying is that that when you buy this token in this crypto, if you join this crypto organization, that you are basically buying a fractional interest in the copy of the Constitution if they are successful. So if you put in money to help buy this piece and they are successful, then you are a fractional owner depending on how much you've put in. So that's basically what it is.
It's kind of like
so in other words, I could buy one word. I could buy the very first letter. I bought we.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of like when groups get together and purchase racehorses. Everybody owns like 5% of a racehorse, and they get 5% of the winnings and stuff like that. But people that do that do it more out of the love of the sport than that, and wanted to be part of something big. But I want to go in our final time is something that's right up my alley. And on Friday, December 3rd in Las Vegas, there's a holiday comic book auction with comic books from the 1940s into the 2000s. And really, this is something that's kind of cool and fun because I look at the prices on this. And once again, prices range from like an original Bugs Bunny issue from 1952. It's going to start off at $60. Looney Tunes cartoons, which are going to be anywhere from $40 to $80. It's, you know, to me, it's just kind of fun. And there's a lot of people that collect comic books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Comics. In fact, you know, Heritage has one starting, I think it's the 18th, maybe, and it runs. It's online, so it's going to run for a little while. But if you look at what they have as well, it's just exactly as you said, because there are a number of auction houses who are starting to sell comic books on a regular basis, and it seems as though comic books went under the radar for a few years, and now it seems as though they're starting to come back with all of the new Marvel movies and all of that. So in the new superheroes. So I think comic books are going to be making a resurgence, and now all of a sudden people are starting to find value in newer comics as well as the older comics. So it's kind of a re-emerging market, I think.
Well, like I said, I find it interesting when you can look at something like this. And this is just a holiday comic book auction, but still, if you want to put a bid on something, you're somebody who used to read the comics or comic books, it's just kind of cool that it opens it up to a really wide general public, which I think is always cool. And like I said, there's just a ton of people that collect comic books out there.
Do you collect comic books? Do you have any?
Somewhere hidden in all my stuff. I have the Fantastic Four comic books. I probably have somewhere between 100, 120 of them, because I was a big Fantastic Four reader. Graphic novel reader was I then.
Oh yeah.
So, well, I have a confession to make. The only comic book I ever read was Little Lulu. Yeah, I guess that tells you a lot about me. I don't know.
Well, the Fantastic Four tells you something about me. Other people were watching, were doing Superman and stuff like that, and I chose the Fantastic Four to getting involved with. So it's just,
you're ahead of your time. Look at it now. Look at the franchise.
well, that's me. Marvel was. Right. It's amazing how that the Marvel universe has come to where it's come, where you get fantastic actors and actresses wanting to play in these movies, because when certain one of the Marvel movies comes out, they know they've got a, like what happened with the Avengers. There's a 10 to 12 to 15 year run where they're going to be be employed and be popular.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to be honest, I've not seen any of the, well, I take that back. Is what is the one with Thor and Loki, and that's the only one I've seen.
Okay. So. Well, Thor is part of the Avengers series, but also that's another thing. They break it out on their own. It really is. The Marvel group really was genius what they did, and the way they broke things out, and the way they adapted to take their comics to the screen and get the people that they do to show on the screen. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it is.
All right. What are you guys? You guys all set for your Thanksgiving yet?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We are actually. Yeah, we're going down to Tim's mom and dad's. Very low key, and that's it. And it's just going to be the four of us.
Did they get their turkey already? Because you know we hear the horror stories about getting turkeys.
No. Oh yeah. Yeah, we've got everything all under control. And. In fact, I'm not even going to raise a finger to cook anything this year. Everything is going to be prepared.
All right, guys. So. Well, I'll speak to you guys next week, all right?
Okay.
Take care.
Take care, Marshall.
Bye.
Tim Luke, Greg Schramm, The Appraisal Guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise. This here on Robin Hood Radio.